Will you please stand now as we sing hymn number 231, Jesus Saves.
Before prayer this morning, I just want to, you to know that this very hour, Daniel Lacey is in Mossport, Toronto, Canada, with as a chaplain of the Rays, and he was requested to visit two or three of the very good car races of America who they found they have cancer, and they want to talk to him, and it's just he's going to spend then the week. After the race and then go to another race in New York. We're going to spend a week in their houses talking about the Lord. Praise God for the open doors that he presented. And do not forget to pray for Mildred tomorrow morning at 7:30. She will be in surgery, and we cover her with our prayers. Such a lovely family, and for our brother also, as they're going to be in O'Connor Hospital. Pastor will be there with the family. But I cover your prayers for them. Also, I had news. A lot of emails have come in, knowing my position with Family Radio, and I'll be able to speak to you more freely on June, on the month of June. But I want to tell you that the Salinas family from Arizona, they said, we'd like to go home soon, and go home is right here with us. And looks like it, he has an opportunity in Fremont, and he's negotiating something like that, and said, we hope to go home soon and to go to our church. So we thank God that we have impressed in the heart of families who have visited us the sense of home that we have in this church. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you in the presence of Jesus and in the presence of your people with thanksgiving because of the opportunity to praise your name this morning. The choir went to sing praises to you, Father, and going to recall our mind and how great you are and how mighty you are, how powerful you are. We confess to you, Lord, that sometimes we are with our head looking down, and we look into our own circumstances and our own life, and we forgot that we belong to a powerful God. So praise the name of Jesus, that the choir is going to talk about the greatness of our God. And Father, we have the scriptures who are the greatest, which are the in literature the greatest book ever written. But we know that the scripture is the voice of God. And we pray that as our brother read the scripture, those who listen may listen with an open heart. And we pray, Lord, later on as I comment on the scripture, and as I meditate on the scripture, and as I bring the exhortation of God in the scripture, we pray that salvation be bestowed in the hearts of many. We don't know, Father, how many people are listening over KKNC and KKXX. How many people are listening over the internet, and how many people are here without Christ. So help me, O God, to present Christ in a way that he will shine so mighty that people will surrender to him. We thank you for our missionaries, for the great recovery of Carol Lewis. We thank you, Lord, that you took care of her. We thank you for Carol and Ruth Knott as they are visiting churches. They support them for so long, for more than 17 years in the mission field, and they're looking forward later on in the year to return to the mission field. We thank you for Eusebio and Marisa Perez, who are so evangelistic in their mind, for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a light in the middle of darkness, for Ruben and Irene Zacher, as today they are speaking to more than 8,000 people invited by the City Hall in the city of Lodi. And they are the one who going to praise your name with the choir, other guest choirs, other pastors. They're going to bring the gospel to the city. That's what the City Hall allows. Lord, there is somewhere, somehow, revival. Somebody in that City Hall of Lodi believes that if the city is going to be turned around, it's going to be turned around by God. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, for the Sport Association in San Jose, and we pray you be with them and open a door that they may produce an impact in the city of San Jose. For Daniel, as he ministers on the race today, and as tomorrow, as he visits those racers, and as he talks to these people about the Lord, who is more powerful than cancer, and who can give us a life free from cancer, eternal life in Christ Jesus. Oh, anoint Daniel's heart in such a way that he will be clear, precise, and that he may have a reward as he sees people believing in the Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for the Salinas family as they love this church and they want to return here. Open the door for them. And Lord, we also pray for the chaplain, Dale Naiman, the chaplain of the Maggio Correctional Institution in Florida. Somewhere, somehow, the books that I wrote have touched the hundreds of people who are there. And he thanked me for being the instrument that God used for these people. I thank you, Lord. Unknown to me, the people in jail are studying your word. I thank you, Lord. And I pray that those people, when they get out of the jail, they can tell this story, that they were in jail, but no more when they have believed in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for an institution that allows the Bible and the books to comment about the Bible to get in. Thank you, Father, for America. It's not all lost. There are spots in America who shine. And we pray, Lord, for the city of Morgan Hill, that you will do miracles after miracles, and the people will come to you by hundreds. Oh, God, I had that dream. And Jesus, I pray that you bless us. Thank you for the offering. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to give. And Father, as a pastor, I thank you for the faithfulness of your people in providing for the ministry. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. My friends, this is Pastor Otero, and I want to express to you my thanks because you are listening, and you are listening the voice of our church, the praises of our church. You are listening to the reading of God's Word and to the preaching of God's Word. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being such a remarkable audience, all in the radio and in the internet. And I want to, as a pastor, offer my phone number here. My office phone number will be 408, that's the area code, 7792300. May God encourage you to call. And so when you call, if I'm not there, just leave a message and I'll be back in touch with you. Give me your phone number. I want to talk to you. I want to say hello to you. I want to pray with you. May God bless you as you listen to today's service. Let's join the service in progress.
Could not express my gratitude.
Yes, thank you, Lord, and thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 13 through chapter 2, verse 5. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 704. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Hebrews 1, verse 13 through Hebrews 2, verse 5. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you are both merciful and just, and that you have graciously included us in so great a salvation. We thank you for your love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and made it possible for you to adopt us into your family. We love you and thank you, Father, that we may now reckon ourselves to be dead to sin and alive in Christ. We pray now for your servant and our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he exposes your word. We pray for understanding and illumination that we may apply this teaching to our thoughts and our deeds. We pray for those listening who do not know you, that you would be merciful to them, to regenerate them so that they may believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother, for the reading of God's word. Science is the field of systematized knowledge derived from observation, study, and experimentation carried on in order to determine the nature, the principles of facts under study. That's the definition of the word science by the state of California and by the university in Germany. Science is the field of systemized knowledge. And every person who is a scientific man or woman is proud that they base their life on a knowledge that is produced by fact, research, and proof. A branch of knowledge of that kind of study deals with establishing the facts and the principles and methods of the physical world we are living on. And that science, that department of the big science, is called physics. Many students do not like physics for the tedious work of experimentation that require. I had to take 6 years of physics as a civil engineer, and I guarantee to you that each time you advance more, you know less, but you have to experience tremendous studies in this. I say all of this because when I used to travel for family radio, usually sitting by me in one of the trips will be a person with books or folders and study, and very soon I noticed that this person maybe is a science in the fields of medicine or science in the fields of engineering, and we start the conversation, and we talk about the plane and the forces that limited the plane to go up, and the discoveries of the plane, and very soon I move from there to the power of the engines and the halitosis of the plane and how the plane goes and so on, and how much the plane weighed, how much were the people, and so on. And very soon we move on and on and on. And in the conversation, I'm always trying to bring the Bible in the picture. As soon as I talk about the Bible, most, not everyone, but most of science people do not want to do anything with the Bible because they say the knowledge of the Bible is not basic of facts, they say. And so therefore, to base your life, to have a guideline for your life that comes from the Bible, is just for people who are not scientifically minded. I remember one time a fellow who was a civil engineer like me and who challenged me about this. Well, let me tell you two great things that I know. And you can challenge the Bible from any corner you want in science, and the Bible is always right. But let me give you just two facts in engineering, and then I move to the spiritual. That's why you are here this morning. It wasn't until the 16th century that William Harvey discovered the workings of the circulatory system and the human body. Can you imagine that? From Adam until the 16th century, there were a lot of science people, especially in Egypt, in the field of medicine, especially in Alexandria. One of the disciples of the Lord was a medical doctor. But was not until the 16th century that mankind started seeing that the life of this body depends on the circulatory system, actually depends on what circulates in the system, depends on the blood. I had news for them. In one of the first books of the Bible, in Leviticus 17, if you like to turn over there, the third book of the Bible. In Leviticus 17 and in verse 11, the Bible clearly declares that life comes from the blood. Leviticus 17 and verse 11 says, for the life of the flesh, the body, the life of the body is in the blood. Where those men have been? Took until the 16th century to find out that that's true. If you go to college today, you will study with a book written by Herbert Spencer in physics. Herbert Spencer died in 1903, and his books are the rule masters of any physicist who studied nuclear reaction. He is the creator, Spencer is the creator of the understanding of the universe. In his book, he explained the universe by dividing the universe in five categories. If somebody asks you, define the universe in which you live on the basis of what you see and on the facts of what you can test, what will you say? A physicist until then only had three facts. This genius, this remarkable genius, Herbert Spencer, he studied the universe and he says the universe, after so much study and research, is made of time, force, action, space, and matter. And in the year 1800, when he said that in Edinburgh, the people said, "What a genius! Now we understand the place where we live." And if you ask today to the physicists, what is the universe? They will say the words of Herbert Spencer. The universe is made of time, force, action, space, and matter. And people say, "You see, that's wonderful." What took so long to understand this? You know where this is explained? Genesis 1:1. In Genesis 1:1. Please, look in your Bible and I divide it for you. What took us so long? When I was in the school in engineering, I was a rascal. But I was in a Roman Catholic university. And I had the right to bring my Bible. And even though the Roman Catholic people do not brought the Bible, the rector, the director of the university, who was a bishop, he said, "You use the Bible any place you want to." And he was my friend, because I argue with the science people. You got Genesis 1:1? I'm going to divide it by a scientific knowledge. Remember, the universe is time, force, action, space, and matter. Look at what the Bible says. In the beginning, that's time, God, that's the force, created, that's action, the heavens, that's the space, and the earth, that's matter. Wow! Right there. Right there. I don't know how long or how old is this world. I really don't know. I know Mr. Camping, in a very serious study that he did with books in the University of Berkeley, dated the universe about 13,000 years. But I don't know if that is possible or not. But whatever years are, if it's 15,000 or 1 million, where have they been? See, they do not read the Bible. They discard the Bible as something not useful. It's not factual. And when they discover a fact, it's way there in the Bible. When Columbus discovered that he was not in India, but that he was in Santo Domingo, he said, "Man, the earth is not flat. The earth must have an oval experience." They never read Isaiah, who said, "On the round of the earth sits the Lord." I tell you, as a science man, I read that book to argue with my teachers, and I learned. You can rely your life upon the Bible. So I want to talk to you this morning about four spiritual facts of the Bible. If the Bible is good for scientific facts, then must be good for spiritual facts. All right? So I'm going to give you four spiritual facts from the book that has been tested, proved, and is good. It's called the Bible. Fact number one. Every person is born a condemned sinner. Every person in the universe is born a condemned sinner. And I'm going to divide the universe spiritually in two parts, prior to Christ and after Christ. So let's look what the Bible says, those people born before Christ. In Psalm 14 and verse 3, page 347. Psalm 14 and verse 3, and that's on page 347. We read in Psalm 14 and in verse 3, these are the facts about the people born in the Old Testament. The Bible says, they are all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that does good, no, no one. That's fact number one. The Bible says every person is born a condemned sinner. Now, what about those people born in the Old Testament? The Bible said in Psalm 14, verse 3, those born in the Old Testament, they are sinners. Well, what about after Christ? Well, may I invite you to read in Romans 3, verse 12, and if you have the Bible, it's in the pew, it's in page 663 in the New Testament, Romans chapter 3, and many of you are in Sunday school and have studied this, but let's look on it again. Romans 3, and this is on verse 12. Look at what the Bible says in Romans 3 and in verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good. No, no one. So here you have people in the Old Testament who are no good, and people in the New Testament who are no good. And the Bible is so complete that tells you why. If you move, you're in Romans chapter 3. If you move your Bible to Romans chapter 5, and in verse 12, the Bible tells you why people being born of a mother and father in their natural state are already condemned by God. Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin enter into the world, and death by sin, and so death passeth upon all men, for that all have sinned. So every baby born into this universe, the Bible said, is a sinner. Not because the baby has done anything. It's because we have received that disease called sinner spiritually into our body. And it's in your genes. It's in your genes. Every person is born a condemned sinner, say the Bible. Now remember, if the Bible is good for science, it's also good for our spiritual life. Fact number two on the Bible, every person faces two inescapable experiences. Every person faces two inescapable experiences. Let's move the Bible to Hebrew, number chapter 9, and that's in page 708, if you are using our pew Bible. Hebrew chapter 9, and let's look in verse 27. Fact number two of the Bible is that every person faces two inescapable experiences. Number one is physical death. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die. Now remember, here's what the Bible says. Every individual that is born is going to die. That's a fact. Who can deny it? Who can deny it? Who can say, hey, you're wrong. I know some people never die. No one. So the Bible says you're going to face death. But the Bible goes a little beyond the physical death in verse 27. And so fact number two says every person faces two inescapable experiences. That's physical death is one. And verse 27 also talk about divine judgment. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Do you see it? After this, the judgment. When you die, when your physical body disappears from this earth, that is not the end. You, the real you, your soul is going to wait for that day of reckoning, the Bible calls, in heaven. That's a fact. And I like the book of Hebrews just mentioned that. As a fact. Fact number three, every person faces two court alternatives. Now let's think, the Bible said that you die and then you have a court hearing. And in that court hearing, you have two alternatives. Let's see what the Bible brings to us. First alternative is to appear in court with no defense lawyer. Have you read in the paper sometimes that people said, well, they have a lawyer and it's so bad, they say, I'll do a better job myself. Or maybe if I'm a little charismatic, I can move the jury in my side as I express myself and so on. And, you know, the jury looked to the person who was talking and so on. And so they go to court without a lawyer. Well, the Bible allows that. You can go to court without a lawyer, and there are some consequences. Let's read it. It's in Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible, in chapter 20, which is almost at the end of the Bible itself. So that's Revelation chapter 20. It started in verse 12 to 14. You can go to court. You can say, I need no spiritual counsel for my life. Remember, in America, a lawyer is called a counsel, all right? A counsel. And so you can say, Pastor, I take my rights. I need no spiritual counsel, and I face that judgment myself. Now, here is what happened then. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And look at verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So you may have the right to say, like in America, we say, I have rights. Yes, you have the right to say, I need no spiritual counsel. I defend myself. And then, if you do that, you notice that in that court hearing, there is not a dialogue between the judge and the people who are judged. The judge bring everybody in and everybody out into hell. That's a fact. Now, every person faces two court alternatives. The second alternative is to get a lawyer, to get a counsel. And the Bible mentioned one for you. There's going to be a winner. 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, a counsel, or a lawyer. Actually, literally, the Greek word say a lawyer. And all the Bible, except the English Bible, use the word advocate. But all the other Bibles and other languages, use the word lawyer. We have a lawyer, it said the scripture, with the Father, with the judge, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's the only lawyer they have. This is the only trial lawyer that is licensed to appear in heaven. Put it in this way. So I speak in your court, in your terms. So fact number three is you have two alternatives when you go to court in heaven, spiritually. You can go by yourself. And you can say, you know, I don't need anybody. And so therefore, here on this earth, you rely upon nobody in your life except yourself. Upon science. Upon some mystical understanding of life. Upon philosophy of life. Upon your goodness of life. You rely upon all of these. And you think that these will be enough credit for you to pass the court hearing. We read in Revelation 20 that a person who rely upon himself and upon all the mysterious ways in which that person moves in this earth, that person ends in hell quickly. But you don't have to. You can hire a lawyer. His name is the Lord Jesus. It's not Pastor Otero. It's not Bethel Church. It's not the Reformed Church. It's not Family Radio. It's Jesus. You can hire Jesus. Now there's a fourth fact that I want you to know. Remember, fact number one, every person is born a condemned sinner. Fact number two, every person has two inescapable experiences. Fact number three, every person has two court alternatives. And fact number four, every person that faces the court with Jesus wins. Every person that is arraigned in the court hearing, and the lawyer is Jesus, wins. You are in 1 John 2:1. Let's read verse 2. You are in 2:1, verse 2. And he, talking about the lawyer of verse 1, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, and a good English word, no longer in use. He is the substitution. He is the true substitution for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins, plural, of the whole world. Jesus is not limited to appear in court for the Jewish people only. He is no limit to the Jewish people and the family of Ishmael, their cousins. No. Jesus is no limit just for the Middle East only. He is licensed to appear in court for the whole world. So if a Chinese go to court, or a Korean, or a Filipino, or an Argentinian, and they have Jesus, you win. He's accepted. License is not required. These are facts, people. These are facts. These are not theories. These are not thinking aloud. These are not suppositions. This is not religion. These are the facts of the Bible. We have a universe, and complex as it is, like this great man Spencer said, the Bible said, I know that. Here it is, and unfolded for you as the Bible is open. But also the Bible said the universe in itself is not really the real issue of God. It's you. You are the issue. And God, knowing that you were born in sin, had provided a lawyer who substituted you and your penalty and had been approved and can pass you with flying colors into the heavens. Woo! Why people do this? Now, I want to read the text as a conclusion. The text that our brother have read is in Hebrews 2 in verse 3. Hebrews 2 and verse 3. Here's the conclusion. Here's the 4 million question. $4 million question. Here it is. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Did you got it? How in the world you think you're going to make it anyway in heaven if you neglect the lawyer? How in the world you can think that it's okay after all, who knows what is the truth, I'm going to heaven anyway, when you neglect Jesus? What do you think you are? The Bible says, how shall we escape? Don't think that you have a plan that will come up right in court because you are gone. If we neglect so great salvation. You know, as you read the text, As you read the text in the Bible, sometimes one word flashes to you. And as I read these texts, neglect hit my face. What that means if we neglect? Well, let me talk to you first to the believers. Let's go to Ezekiel 33 and verse 9, page 506 in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 33 and verse 9. If we neglect this great salvation, how can we believers who have Jesus, neglect this great salvation? Here it is, Ezekiel 33 and verse 9. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. My brother, we have a responsibility. We tell the people who are not saved, be saved, and if they are not saved, it's not a responsibility, really. See, I'm not responsible to those people listening and the internet or listening over KKNC or KKXX get saved or not. I'm responsible for telling them who can save them. And you and I are responsible daily to tell our family first. Can you imagine you mothers who have the greatest time with your children and you grandparents? What a great opportunity to tell your children about that lawyer that will flee from them and will get them into heaven. Then let me show you in the Bible how people neglect this great salvation. Some people are absorbed in business. Turn your Bible to the New Testament to Luke 14 and verse 18, page 611 in the New Testament. Luke 14 and verse 18. People neglect this great salvation because their life is absorbed in business. Jesus is talking a parable and inviting people to come. And the Bible said, but they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Excuse me, Jesus. I need money and I'm going to work on Sunday and I will not go to church and listen to God's word because I need money. And they do not know that what they need most is their soul to be saved, not the money. But they are absorbed in business. Some people have an ambition to have a little more. Some people are unwise. They spend much of what they earn and then they need to work on Sunday because they need to make payments. The Bible talks about people who also procrastinate. Look in Acts 24 and verse 25. Page 655. Acts 24 and verse 25. Paul is witnessing to a governor. And look what the Bible says. And now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. That's called procrastination. Well, you know, it sounds good what you said, but I have other things to do. Talk to me later on when I have time. And they never come to have time. What if you die today? How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Some people have insensibility. You are in Acts 24. Let's go to Acts 28, verse 27. Acts 28, verse 27. Paul said, for the heart of these people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. And their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. See, there are some people who are no longer insensible to the things of the Spirit. But this is dangerous. If you die in your sin, you go to hell. Look in Romans 12, excuse me, in Hebrews 12 now, 12:25. Hebrews 12:25, page 710. Hebrews 12:25. See that you do not refuse him. Now read it slowly. Hebrews 12 and verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. That's God. For if they did not escape who refused him, who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaketh from heaven. Wow! Let's not play with Jesus. Let's not play, oh, Pastor, this Bible is written so long ago. They had no merits. I have an email from ABC. Do a favor to me. Never listen again to ABC. I have an email because I protest because they want to sell homosexuality. So, matter of fact, I prepare a mad sermon, and my wife read it, and she threw it away. But I prepare a sermon like I was in court. They sent me a letter because I protest from a show that they are showing homosexuality publicly. I protest. I said, they're never going to answer to me. They answered to me. And they said, you must be one of those crazy people who trust in the Bible. Yes, I am. One of those crazy people that trust in the Bible and go to heaven. That the entire staff of ABC going to hell. So I sent another letter. Said, please, turn to God. I tell you, where do you stand with Jesus? You come to church, you sing hymns, you read the Bible. But do you have the lawyer? Have you believed that Jesus Christ is your lawyer? Have you believed that the day you stand in heaven, you don't have to say a word because Jesus will say it all? Have you believed that Jesus will stand and said, I die for Gabriel Otero? Have you believed that? If you don't, you better believe today. If you don't, you better believe today. 2 Corinthians 6:2 said, today is the acceptable day. If you believe in Jesus, your life will change. It's not a sweet and dull life. It's a real challenging life with Jesus by your side. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Bible, which is so precise, who's so full of facts that reveal to us our need. Our need is not the knowledge of the universe, even though I enjoy it, Father, to study physics and to see what you have created. But the real need is my soul. And I thank you, Lord, that one day you revealed to me Jesus, like you did to Paul and to John and to Jeremiah. Lord, thank you. Reveal Jesus to many today. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.